We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. This is the Zabe Cast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. So it ends, Andy, the magnificent run of the 2024 Commanders comes to a crashing end in Philly. Everyone on this pod would like to know, how'd you take it, my friend?
Well, it was a tough afternoon, but, you know, I knew that it wouldn't take long to look back and say, wow, what a run. And if you'd have told me that we'd be watching the Commanders play football on the last weekend of January back in August, I'd have said you were nuts. So all in all, a great run.
Enough of the coaching bullshit. I want to hear, how did you, Andy Polin, at 66 and a half years old, take it?
Well, do you want to hear me say that I broke furniture? No.
I want a personal thought about how it went, not a very congratulatory, well, you know, it was a great season. Who would have thought? Give me something personal, Andy.
Look, you know, when Clint Longley threw two touchdown bombs on Thanksgiving when I was 16, it was devastating. But 50 years later, with a full life of work and marriage and kids and grandchildren, you have a little bit different perspective on a football game.
Utterly understand, but I want it known for the record then that you have become, and you are in fact, a Die Easy fan. Your death was easy on Sunday, unless you introduced, Your Honor, some evidence to the contrary, a smashed remote, an expletive string that sent the family scattering in shock.
No.
The third fumble of the game pretty much doomed the Commanders. Come on, Andy.
Look, the first time Saquon Barkley touched the ball on the first offensive play of the game.
Okay, give me your reaction.
I was angry. I cursed.
Did you yell? Were you like, tackle that guy?
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that they had to do going into that game was find a way to keep him under control. I mean, he was going to get 100 yards. There's no question about it.
Right.
But you didn't expect that. And that was very disappointing. But I'll tell you this, going into the half, I felt confident because there were a lot of games like that this year where they started slow.
Confident. I didn't feel confident, but I did tweet. I said, you know, they played a shitty first half and they're only down 12.
Yeah, this is what they've been doing.
Right.
Yeah.
They got a chance to make this really, really interesting. But then just more mistakes in the end. So there was no muttering to yourself, no moments of anger where you're like, why are they doing this right now? Nothing.
No. I felt going into the game that Philadelphia was a more talented team and that they would have to play kind of the way they've been playing, not turning the ball over and the other team making mistakes. Well, when you lose the turnover battle 4-0, you're not going to beat anybody.
Right.
And that's basically what the game came down to, not to mention that they couldn't stop the run, that Philadelphia is a much better defensive team. I mean, look, they went as far as they were probably going to go. Could it have been a better game? Yeah. But the reality was they weren't going to beat Philadelphia in Philadelphia.
Do you consider yourself in any way, shape, or form a jinx for having been so confident of their ability to prevail. On Friday when we chatted with Sheehan, on last Monday when you said confidently, oh no, they're winning the Super Bowl. I feel it.
I felt that way having watched the playoffs, that they were playing better than any of the four teams, but the other three.
Do you feel jinxy ever? Do you feel like, ah, fuck, I shouldn't have opened my mouth? Or, you know what? The gods heard me and they smote us down because I got too cocky. You're not just superstitious. You're not even a little stitious. You're completely unstitious is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there was a time in my life where I would have been making sure to wear the right socks or the right underwear, but at this point in my life, I'm not that way.
Yeah. Well, did you know that there were some people that feel like there was too much cockiness from this team on the field and the shit talking and the fight starting? And certainly Marshawn Lattimore is in that camp of, okay, bro, you just got here. You were hurt for several weeks before you even played. And every time you've been on the field, you've gotten in trouble, whether it's against Mike Evans or A.J. Brown, twice now against A.J. Brown. And then you notice they didn't put him on A.J. Brown anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't care about, well, he wasn't on the right side of the field, but that's how Joe Witt does the assignments. Bullshit. You had Mike Sandrasil, who's a nice player, but he's a rookie, guarding A.J. Brown the rest of the game.
He's like 5'9".
Yeah, they had him guarding the game the rest of the game because they couldn't trust Lattimore, the hothead.
Right. Look,
this is the first miss for your boy Peters. I mean, you guys gave up a third, a fourth, and a fifth for him. Is that right?
Well, they gave up. There were three picks that they gave up, and they got him in a fifth in return. I forget the order of the picks.
He cost two middle round picks, and he's expensive, isn't he?
Yeah, but I don't think the money's guaranteed. They're not going to cut him. And there's also an $18 million cap hit if they cut him. But the reality is, yeah, you're right. He's been a disappointment. And I thought it was very disappointing in the locker room that he said the thing that decided the game was the three turnovers. Well, that played a factor. But the fact that you didn't get any turnovers and you started a fight and you pretty much got burned by A.J. Brown didn't help matters any.
Yeah. How much of the surrounding coverage hoo-ha from Fox 5 and their team of reporters did you watch, both pre and post game?
Well, I watched the Maryland game, which they won with a three-pointer with 7.5 seconds to go, and I thought that might be a good omen. So that ended about 2 o'clock, a little after two. And then I flipped over to the pregame, which it's ridiculous that they're on the field. The mics weren't working well. They're freezing to death. It's a studio show. And what it added to have Terry Bradshaw in a parka, I don't know, but they felt like they had to take the whole mishbucha out there and watch them freeze on the field in Philadelphia.
I did not see that they were having mic troubles at the network level.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How much of the local stuff, though, is what I'm wondering? Because, you know, Fox 5 DC really put a lot of manpower to this day, both pre and post, with reporters and anchors and bunch of people I didn't even know who they were, but they were leaning in fully to this.
Right, but they don't have a sports guy anymore.
No.
Dave Feldman
left. Julie now as a contract employee, just on a whim, and she obviously filled in great. But other than that, it was like they had a lot of people there to hoo-ha with the fans in their Commanders gear.
Right, and for someone like you or I who watches sports and talks about sports for a living, the surface of, wow, isn't this great? They're
and
in the
what?
Championship game doesn't really add much for me.
No, I agree. I watched a lot of the post-game stuff because I put it on screen two in the 5-hour Energy Dome, and I was struck by all the fans that I just knew in my bones. They had rushed into action in the last 2 weeks, literally, to go, oh, wait, what? The Commanders are good? They're running out to Kohl's to get their sweatshirts. And they're like, yay, you know, these older men and women. And you're just like, you ain't a fan. Stop it. And I'm wondering, you as still a fan, if that offends you.
No,
that there had
to be so
many Johnny and Susie come latelys.
Oh, I'm sure that happened the first time around. When they won with Joe Gibbs in 1982, they'd gone through a 6-10 season in 1980 and then the 0-5 start in 81 and then the strike. So by the time they started
82
rolling.
82 was kind of sudden.
Yeah, 82. Kinda and surprising. Not a lot, half the season was knocked out.
Right.
So really, the big bandwagon jump was during the playoffs when, you know, Riggins was doing his thing and, you know, they were riding him to Pasadena. And so, yeah, I mean, this always happens when a team suddenly gets good.
And, have to deal with it. You just have to accept it as the more the merrier. It's a Big Ten. Come on.
What am I going to be, a snob? Say, hey,
yes,
oh,
yes, you would. Yes.
Don't sit in that seat. That's my chair. No.
Andy, that's honestly, it's one of the things you do best.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Oh, shit. Well, anyway, I'll give you another one for you. And this, I couldn't believe this when I heard it. And neither could J.P. Finley or B. Mitch. But first caller I hear as I'm in the car today, and I don't know if this is their first caller of the day, but it was definitely one of the first callers of the hour that they were on, said, and I follow, and this is a pretty accurately paraphrased comment. Hey, you know what, J.P., I'm just worried. And they're like, why? And he's like, well, I don't want us to become like Buffalo or Baltimore and win all the time, but not be able to get through to the Super Bowl. I'm like, holy shit. One appearance in 33 years, and you're suddenly worried about, gee, wouldn't want to be so good that we're here all the time. Because we might not win. What the fuck? Yeah.
I saw something on Twitter where somebody said, I hope Jaden Daniels' career doesn't get wasted by the coaching of Dan Quinn.
Wasted? Oh, my God. What is it about fans? And this was a guy who wasn't just here 2 weeks ago to rush in front of the parade. This was clearly one of their longtime listeners and a real fan that knows the players and knows what's going on. He actually has that somewhere in his brain. I'm worried that we're going to be here all the time and not win like the Bills. What the fuck?
Well, I think if you're a caller and, you know, the callers always want their own show. We've done call in radio long enough to know that. So you're thinking to yourself as a caller, I need a unique take on this. And everybody else is saying what I said to you at the beginning. Well, you know, they didn't go all the way, but it was a great season. So let me come up with this and see how it plays. That's how that works.
Yeah. All right. So what is on Andy's punch list for the Commanders this offseason?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that they need to address, mostly on defense. But in Adam Peters, I trust. It's the first time they've had a real general manager since Scott McLuhan, who I thought did a decent job before they chased him out of town. And I'm very impressed with what he did in the first year. So now with some cap room. Now, I just saw part of their season-ending news conference where Dan Quinn and Peters were sitting side by side. And the question was, well, given this kind of unexpected success, does this change how you might address the offseason? And he gave it a lot of, you know, GM talk. But he said, well, you know, every year we start at the bottom, yada, yada, yada. But you got to be thinking. And I think the Marshawn Lattimore trade at the deadline was made because they were in a spot that really wasn't expected. So there might be a little bit more of a go for it in the offseason, which would be great. You know, I fully support that.
Speaking of the Bills real quick, there was apparently no pool report asking Cleet Blakeman what happened on the spot of the fourth down that turned out in the Chiefs' favor. I want your take on this, and then I'm going to ask you a very simple question after the end of it, but quickly give me your take on that sequence of events.
Yeah, that was you know, clearly falls in line with everything else that has seemingly happened with the Kansas City Chiefs. And the league is saying, well, you know, we just see him on TV more often and you're more, you know, attuned to what happens with him. I mean, you know, there's kind of a thing that's human nature where, you know, you're used to seeing this team and you expect them. It's kind of like an umpire who is working behind the plate with a great hitter like Barry Bonds, that he had a great eye. So you give him the benefit of the doubt on a ball or a strike.
If Barry didn't swing, it must have been a ball.
Right, and that's what's happening here. Yeah.
Well,
and,
these are like default settings. When someone said, what do you say, is a conspiracy? I'm like, no. The league has default settings like in your computer that says, do you want to allow cookies, A, when using this site only, B, all times, or C, whenever? Or, you know, you click your preference. Their preference is Kansas City. But it's not a conspiracy. It's like, if it's close enough, where do you think it's going to go? So my question to you is, who actually made the call as to whether he was short or not?
I don't know. And I don't know, you know, the use that they have of the replay. Exactly. It's ridiculous. Right. It's absolutely ridiculous the way they have the technology to make the call and they don't do it. And the officiating that we saw this weekend was atrocious. And it was on both sides in the Commanders-Eagles game. I mean, there were both bad calls on either side. And I wonder if they ought to just do away with officials and just judge everything by the cameras, because they got a better view. We watch calls at home and go, right, how can they make that call? We have a better view than they do down on the field.
The answer to who made the call is one of three guys, and I'm not sure which one, between Walt Anderson, head of the bent needle department for the NFL's replay room, Perry Fuel, the former coach in this league. I believe he coached DBs for the Redskins once upon a time.
Sounds
old Perry
familiar.
Fuel. And then a guy by the name of John Berger. And I didn't know who he was. It sounded like somebody you went to synagogue with when you grew up in Bethesda. Solly today on the Lynn Murray Solly podcast I was on looked up John Berger's LinkedIn. Do you know where he came from as one of the three men in the replay room for the NFL? The Art McNally Game Center, or ANGC as they call it. He is a 35-year former Giants PR man.
Oh.
Giants PR man who then transitioned the last 5 years into the league's technology department. I said, do you know the conflict of interest that has to exist there, that this guy, John Greenberg. John Berger.
Easy. Berger.
Sorry. That was very stereotypical. Borderline racist.
Yes, it was.
Okay, I'm
yes,
sorry.
It was.
John Berger. This John Berger guy. He had to have deep connections to the Mara family, 35 years of working for him. And that you can't have that, given that there's an old line blue blood franchise in Mara and the Giants, and there's an old line blue blood franchise in the Hunts with Kansas City, and you've got the New York market, which is being invaded by Buffalo fans downstate. Okay, there's competition there. You can't have that guy deciding calls, but there were the three men cloaked in darkness being just lateraled the call. They didn't spot, they didn't measure, they didn't announce, which is outrageous, Andy. You have to at least make the call first to then say the call stands. That's what frustrated and infuriated me. And now that we've got no pool report for Cleet Blakeman to explain, it's incredible. And to think that no reporters even thought to ask for it, where you have to ask for it. Like, hey, knock, knock, we want to talk to Cleet. What happened?
Yeah, I agree. There was a pool report on the crazy stuff that happened in the Commanders game with Frankie Louvu making the dive like four times.
The palpably unfair act. Did you find any research on if that's ever been used at any level of football?
I have no idea, but I like the fact that they did it. I mean, it makes zero sense when you're only moving the ball a millimeter when it's half distance to the goal line. Why not keep going? And, you know, longtime people who had no idea that the rule existed just tells you, you know, how people just sort of like fall in line. Well, we better not jump off sides. We'll just, you know, get tush pushed up the middle. Right. And good for them for showing them, well, this is ridiculous. We're going to do a silly thing if you're going to do a silly thing.
Yeah. So.
And also, by the way, I think they ought to outlaw the tush push.
I agree. Now, how would you do it? How would you do it? Because I have my way of doing it. How would you do it?
Well, do it the way it was done for years and years. If a runner is pushed from behind, that's a penalty. Whatever they want to call it.
Assisted in any way. Currently, you can push from behind. You cannot lift or carry. But that's getting violated a lot, and they're not calling it.
Yeah, how can you tell? It's just everybody just smushing. It's like the subway at rush hour.
Right. I would make a very simple rule that states as follows. The player who receives the snap under center or in any, you know, whoever receives the snap cannot be pushed from behind, period. Cannot be touched. So that then eliminate, at least then you have to run a football play. You have to grab it and hand it to somebody else. Can you direct snap and then do something sure. But the first guy to touch it cannot be pushed from behind. That would pretty much eliminate it. One of the big critiques of the play, according to some, was it's not a football play. It's a rugby play. We're not rugby, you know?
Yeah.
And
he,
even
you know,
though
he's a proponent of that, one of your buddy, Peter King, before he retired, he made a big push, no pun intended, for that.
Yeah, okay, sure. So anyway, I hit Solly with the, well, who do you think made the call on whether it was short or not? Because that's a pretty significant call in the game. And he goes, I don't know, I guess Blakeman, because he was there with the monitor on the field. And I go, no, it's the three guys in the replay room, one of whom's a PR guy, another one who's a coach. And the third guy brought bent needles, and they made a federal case out of it in New England. I'm like, it's ridiculous. He goes, well, then why do they have the monitor for Blakeman? And I said, so it looks better. Because do you know how bad it would look if the referees just stood around and waited for the room in New York to make the call? That's why they do it. They want to make it look like they're participating in the ultimate call, but they do not have the final authority.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But
you remember when replay first came in, they then
86.
Yeah, but they had a booth on the sideline that the referee would go into, and they wanted to make sure the referee on the field made the final call on all replays.
I think that's when it came back. I think the first go round, I forget how they did it, but the going under the hood was when back.
No, I'm pretty sure that the referee on the field always made the call.
Is that going back to 86?
Yes. Because
that's the first time they used it. And then it went away after the 91 season. It was gone for almost a decade.
Right.
And then there was a couple of bad calls against the Jets. Yeah. And the big push brought it back in 99.
But I distinctly remember the reason why they had the crew chief make the call and have the booth there to look himself was because they didn't want people to think somebody other than the referee on duty that day was making the calls. That was an important enough thing. They would set up these replay machines on the sideline. And then they made the slim down modified ones that can be hand carried out to the field, which you see now, but it was all because of perception. But it's really the man behind the curtain making the calls anyway.
Right.
So the World Series, Super Bowl, the Olympics, the world's top athletes get to play in these top level sporting events thanks to one thing, teamwork. And teamwork can also protect your financial legacy and your family's future. SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents are the perfect teammates when shopping for a customized, affordable life insurance plan. They can find you the right policy to keep your financial legacy safely in your family's end zone. Get the right life insurance for you for less at selectquote.com/Zabe. That's selectquote.com/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo today to get started. That's selectquote.com/Zabe. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. All right, let's get to the Dan Snyder article. The Seth Wickersham, Don Van Atta, banger of all bangers. A lot of times you get TLDRs, Andy. You know what a TLDR is?
I don't.
Too long, didn't read.
No.
This was a VLMR, a very long must read for anyone who is a Redskin fan that lived through the awful Snyder years. Wickersham and Van Atta are basically the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff of professional sports journalism. They're the greatest tag team we've had. They have done more long pieces that have been must reads over the years. They're really, really good. Yep. And they got stuff on Snyder that I had never heard before from a source close to Snyder's inner circle, including, to me, the jaw-dropping part of the piece was he was at the point of refusing to turn over his bank routing number to hold up the sale of the team.
Right.
Wow. Man.
And it took Joe Gibbs to say, Danny boy,
Danny,
it's time.
He had to come. Joe Gibbs had to come tap him on the shoulder.
Yeah. That's the only employee who he treated with any respect in the 24 years that he owned the team. And that was the one guy, I guess, who could finally get him to do what he said he was going to do. But what draws you into the tent immediately, no matter how big a fan you are, because everybody has asked this question as the season has gone on. Gee, I wonder how Snyder is feeling about this. And the quote, he effing hates it, brings you right into, whoa,
yes.
What's going on here? And then when you find out the other parts about what a petulant little boy he was in the final moments. No, I'm not giving it away. I'm not giving it away. And again, they continue to promote this silly myth that he was a lifelong fan and a diehard at every game. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. He was just a little boy with a toy that he didn't know anything about and decided that he could meddle in it. Because if he was any kind of an NFL fan, he would know how many failed before him trying to run the team when they didn't know anything about it. So,
yeah,
there you go.
He went out like a bitch. Oh. He went out kicking and screaming like a kid who didn't want to go to the dentist. What a complete loser he is. I'm just not going to give him the bank routing number. That'll stop him. His wife is imploring him. We're dying here. We're trying to have a family and a life. What are you doing? Give it up already. Like you said, he was ready to ignore his own wife and kids and just stick in to the very end, like Pacino and Scarface snorting a table full of cocaine saying, say hello to my little friends,
yeah, you know,
and go
look.
Out shooting. It took Gibbs to finally say, you're going to fuck the franchise up for good if you do this. And he finally relented, but he wanted to have the one feather in his cap that he sold for $6 billion. And that would be a new high watermark for NFL sales. It won't last, by the way. They'll sell other teams for even more. And then the NFL hit him with a $60 million fine for the express purpose of bringing the total under that $6 billion. And Snyder started bragging, I'll never pay it. They can't make me pay it. Too late. It's already taken out of the bill. You
dumb
fuck.
It was like the commission on the sale of a house. Sorry, Danny boy.
I'm never going to pay. No, it's like the undercoating. It's already in there, dummy.
I mean, he is sitting on a pile of money, but he can't even go home to his, not much less his hometown, his home country. He's been banished to another country. And the part where they say, on top of everything else, the denial, which he knew he would have, is sadness. Aw, poor baby.
Poor
baby. How
about
the people that emotionally invested in this franchise many years before you bought it and watched helplessly as you made foolish move after foolish move, including
in
jumping off your yacht and ordering the team to take a quarterback they didn't want in Dwayne Haskins just because he went to your kid's high school. So too bad. Sorry, you're angry, Dan. Sorry, you've seen the team that you destroyed get rebuilt in no time.
Right.
Too bad. Too bad.
1 a.m. July 21st, this according to the Wickersham Van Atta story, Snyder and his wife fielding phone calls from various executives and confidants urging him to do what he'd pledged to do and let go of the team. Snyder told a confidant, I don't want to do this. A rally celebrating Harris's ownership group was scheduled for later that day at the since renamed FedEx Field. But as 1 a.m. became 2 a.m., Snyder was refusing to hand over the stadium keys. Quote, I don't care, Snyder said, according to sources with direct knowledge of what transpired in those hours. It would be trespassing if anyone goes there. It's still mine.
Yeah, right.
Still mine.
How about the part where he invited two bidders, one of them Harris and the other one with a lengthy name from Canada, to London at the same time, with each of them thinking they were closing exclusively. And when Harris and his partner Mitch Rales found out that this was happening, they didn't even go to the meeting. They hopped on a plane and went home and
right.
said, well, our deal is the best one. He'll come back to us. And right. he did.
Right. Didn't know that he had become such an Anglophile because he spent many years there as a kid. His dad, a writer, was writing a book on the Loch Ness Monster. And really? So he would spend his summers in the River on Thames area of London.
Okay.
Well, stay there because nobody wants to see you again. I mean, look, this is a guy who owned the most important franchise in the city, had one of the most high-profile ownership positions of anyone. If he walked into the Palm, he'd get booed. And by the way, did you see the little note about this dinner where this information supposedly came from, that Snyder did what he usually does, ordered everything on the menu? Isn't that a schmucky move?
I saw that, and I'm like, that sounds exactly like Snyder. I'll order everything, nibble at what I want, and throw away the rest. Probably didn't let anyone else nip from his order while he got it, right?
I don't know. I mean, and the other part where the other part about how he was going to explain that he should keep the team because he had quit drinking and all the stuff that happened because he was drunk. No, it's because he's an ass, not because he was drunk.
Yeah. So according to the story, he has an investment company that is trying to drum up new investment ventures, businesses, who knows what, because he's got a pile of at least $4 billion. The $6 billion was melted down because he had a lot of debt. There's lawsuits involving minority owners who feel like they were cheated because they say Bank of America purposely fed him with extra debt to suffocate him financially on purpose.
Yeah. That was so the best move the owners did. That was the thing that sunk him.
They kept giving him more and more rope, didn't they?
Right. Well, I read it was an SI piece where they said it was the equivalent of Snyder agreeing to have a cinder block chained to his ankle for the purposes of the owners throwing that cinder block in the water.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened there. And that's what ultimately got him out. But, you know, this last minute thing, no, I'm not going to do it.
He has $180 million super yacht that is parked off the coast of the Netherlands. Who knows how many people care to even hang out on it with him now that he is without a team. He had a $35 million mansion over on the Maryland side of the Potomac River that he slashed to $29 million. It sat empty and no bidders for over a year. He finally donated it to the American Cancer Society as a tax write-off of $14 million. But he has another mega mansion down by Mount Vernon that is also $25-plus million that is currently on the market and empty and getting no bidders.
Right. Yeah, well, there's that. And the fact that they say in the story that he's interested in buying a soccer team.
This is a guy who barely
knows the rules of football, if at all, and now he's going to own a soccer team?
It would make the TV show Ted Lasso look like a well-run organization by comparison. And you know they're not going to let him in. You know that they know who the fuck he is, and the Premier League or any other league is going to go, nope, don't need your money.
Yeah, he knows who Messi is, so let's buy Messi. You know, that's about it.
Is there anything else? Is there any rung lower for him to hit? He can't go bankrupt. He's got too much money.
Yeah. No, he's.
Is there anything left for the 60-year-old Dan Snyder?
I have no idea. But if, the new ownership has been very careful not to speak his name. They don't do that.
Well, he wasn't giving him the routing number hours before the final transfer of the team.
But you know, if they win the Super Bowl in the next few years, will he surface for an interview to say, oh, yeah, I laid the foundation for that? Will he do that?
Listen to you. If they win a Super Bowl in the next few years. Do you hear the words you're speaking?
You don't think that's possible?
They have the one thing. It's possible.
They have the one thing that you have to have, a quarterback, and they've got that. Okay, you can laugh.
Why don't you walk a little bit more humbly, my friend? Like, I don't know if it's going to happen, but... if they were lucky enough to maybe have the stars aligned. You know, there's 31 other teams gunning for the same prize, and they're really, really good.
Understand how many of them are serious contenders.
Well, you're counting yourself amongst the contenders suddenly.
Because you have a quarterback who could be among the top five, maybe even higher.
Like Trevor Lawrence.
Well, I mean, Trevor Lawrence right now is not a top five quarterback.
Okay. All right. Like C.J. Stroud.
He's not either.
Okay. See? Yeah. I'm just saying. You know, you think you got your guy, you got to see it again next year.
You do,
I think
but...
you got your guy. I like your guy a lot. But, man, this league is hard, and it's cruel.
It is.
And look what
it
happened
is.
To Buffalo.
It could happen to them, too. But for them to be in the conversation after what they've been for 25 years or 30 years, come on.
Well, if there's a Redskin fan out there that lived through the horrible years and you've not yet read the piece by Seth Wickersham and Don Van Atta, please go read it. It reads like goddamn romance porn. It's the best thing ever. It really is. When they had the line in there saying, and it's fucking killing him, I nearly came. I'm like, Jesus, that is so beautiful. What a dick. Two empty houses, a mega yacht nobody wants to be on, and exiled from the country. Perfect. And seen, as the kids like to say.
Karma.
Last ad, I'm glad you appreciated my tweet about Jay Feely. Flew him into Kansas City as the fifth member of their team. Had him speak two appearances, two quick shots. One was to remind everybody that Harrison Butker had knee surgery and missed some time this year. Well, no shit. We've been following the league. Put him up at some nice hotel. Gave him a 4-star meal every night. Per diem, driver. Also, he can do that. What a gig.
He is, the purpose of having him there is, can that kicker make it from that distance? Yes, I saw him do it in warm-ups.
Warm-ups.
No, he was struggling.
Right.
Mike Tirico does that as part of his massive prep.
Right.
To have an extra body there to tell you that is ridiculous.
Seeing how far kickers can make it in practice and warm-up is one of the few things that us civilians who are not football people can accurately do. It's about it. Because it's very simple. Did he make it or not? Was he struggling or not? How's the wind going that direction? Yeah, well,
ridiculous.
Whatever Jay Feely has over the execs at CBS, I tip my cap. It's a hell of a gig. Good for him.
Or somebody very high up says, I got a great idea. We'll bring in a former kicker to be on the sidelines to tell you if the guy can make the kick. Oh, that's brilliant, JB. Go ahead. Let's rubber stamp it.
I think Feely's got tight relations with every head pro at every elite golf course in the New York metro area. Everything from winged foot down to Baltus roll, all the way up to the golf club, out to Shinnecock, you name it. He's got them wired, so all the CBS execs are like, well, let's send Feely out there to be part of the crew.
Must be.
I can't hate it. It's still damn good. Yeah. All right, Andy, as always, great season. Onward to next year, and we will chat next week.
Sounds good, Zach. Take care. Easy like Sunday.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.